All right, folks. Guys, thanks so much for being on the call today. We have Matt McCreary from Sabal on the call. So everyone should actually have kind of the overview of the program that they offer that you can definitely follow along with. And Matt, really at this point, just kind of let you take it away and do your spiel.
Got it. Well, yeah, thanks, Megan. Thanks, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today, and hopefully we can gain some ground here for the small balance multifamily going forward. But, you know, taking a step back just to introduce myself, my name is Matthew McCreary, as Megan said. Work with Sabal Financial. We are a nationwide multifamily lender based out of Newport Beach, California, right between LA and San Diego. And we do have offices nationwide. We have some underwriters that are located just about all over the country. So that makes our life a little bit easier as we handle, you know, somewhere between $600 and $700 million a year of 1 to 5 million multifamily deals. Going forward, you know, we've actually had the Freddie Mac small balance license since the program was really started about 2 years ago. So Freddie Mac, as you all probably already are familiar with, has a much larger program that's geared to, call it about $5 million to $100 million in loan size. And they launched this program to really satisfy that market niche of, you know, $1 to $5 million, as I mentioned before. So in the past 2 years, they've done about $6 billion through the program. Sabal is currently in the top three lenders with the license, and we have funded about $600 to $700 million this year just through the program alone, and obviously looking to have somewhere close to $1 billion next year. But you know, jumping into the program basics, very, very simple, and Freddie aims to keep it that way. It's really $1 to $5 million on the loan amount. Anything that is five units or greater qualifies, and there are some discrepancies between the markets that do qualify for certain pricing breaks. But long story short, I can pass that along to Megan and she can distribute it internally, but it's tied to mostly MSAs in certain counties. But the key points to remember is that, you know, your New York, LA, San Francisco markets are going to get a little bit better pricing, and then what we call standard markets from there. I would say to think of it as kind of big cities with a sports team markets like Charlotte, Phoenix, Sacramento will enjoy that second tier. And then going down a little bit further, you know, the pricing would increase appropriately. But I can get into that maybe when we open it up for questions. Jumping into, you know, what makes the ball a little bit different, you know, we're all basically, you know, having an agency program here that is affect the same product, but what makes us a little bit different in the marketplace is that we only deal, you know, on the wholesale level. So we only deal with mortgage bankers and brokers. Typically, we don't go direct to borrowers like some of our competition. And what that allows us to do is satisfy, you know, a little bit of a market niche whenever folks have, you know, bigger borrowers that they want to protect or hold on to for the long term. And then we can just help them with a one-off deal or maybe a couple smaller ones that might fit. But other than that, you know, Megan, if anybody wants to have a specific question, I'm happy to take it.
Okay. Yeah, let me just unmute everything. Actually, I just had a quick question for you real quick before I open it up. With loans like this, like I see, obviously, acquisition and refinance, this program can't be used for like a refi cash out or anything, can it?
So we can do cash out. The real limitation there is going to be the borrower's basis. So anything that the borrower has owned for less than 2 years, Freddie is really going to cap it at about 90% of the loan to cost. So there are exceptions to that rule, but generally speaking, in all markets, that's going to be the rule of thumb.
Okay. When you say loan to cost, whenever I hear loan to cost, I think of some type of construction or renovation going on. Is that allowed in a program like this? Or what did you mean by that?
Well, what I really mean is if, let's just say a borrower purchased a multifamily property, let's just say right on the money 2 years ago for, you know, $1 million, and they put $500,000 into it. So, you know, the borrower's basis would in effect be, you know, $1.5 million, and we would be capped, you know, right at 90% of that total number. So that's generally how they look at it. But again, you know, if you had a top market deal or something in New York City, Los Angeles, just something that's really, really good real estate, with a local owner-operator who's, you know, let's just say very high net worth, then there are exceptions to that rule, as I mentioned.
Okay, and so it seems like the seasoning, the requirement is around 2 years, like you said?
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, okay. Okay, all right. Let me just open up for quick questions to see if anyone has any. One sec. All right, guys, everyone is unmuted, so if anyone has any quick questions for Matt, please ask them. And Matt, if no one has any questions, I'm sure I'll have more questions for you as well.
Yeah, no worries. I know it's a little bit, there's a lot of moving parts here with the agency program. You know, typically a lot of folks have kind of run the other direction traditionally because it's, you know, rather complicated compared to, say, a bank deal. But I guess one thing to keep in mind is that Freddie designed this program to compete with banks. So, you know, we can offer extremely low rates. You know, it's all non-recourse money. You know, 650 credit score works for the borrowers. You know, we don't have really, really stringent requirements going forward for reporting. So there's a lot of easy ways to sell around it when you're comparing it to bank deals and whatever local markets you might be operating in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've actually never closed an agency loan. So I've heard from many people that it's difficult. I've heard sometimes that agency loans can go even past 30-year amortization. So we really just kind of handle your standard commercial real estate loans, as you know. But I mean, it doesn't seem like to me you guys really request much more documents than a bank would request anyway, so I don't understand what the real fear is behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, generally speaking, the costs are low. We're only charging about $10,000 to close the loan, which if you think about the cost of the actual third parties and the general legal cost, you know, it's about break even. So getting into the actual terms. So we offer a 5, 7, and 10-year fixed and hybrid options. So there's a little bit of flexibility for the borrower there. And, you know, on liquidity, net worth for the borrower qualifications, we're looking for about 9 months debt service for liquidity and then a net worth equal to the loan amount.
Okay. Actually, that was the one question I did have for you. Well, obviously we understand what your fixed options are. It's, you know, the interest rate is fixed for that period. When you say hybrid option, what is exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, it would be a 5, 7, and 10. And so those would actually be a 20-year total term. So what I really mean by that is it would be a 5 plus 15, a 7 plus 13, or a 10 plus 10. And, you know, it would be fixed for that first, you know, 5, 7, or 10-year period. And then it would float at either 325 or 275 over six-month LIBOR thereafter. But, you know, if we're going into the top markets, what I really see as a trend is that our five-year hybrid deal, which is at 5 plus 15, is actually about 10 basis points inside of the five-year fixed, which is the standard, you know, five-year, 30-year AM. And a lot of borrowers have elected that path traditionally.
Okay. Can you go over real quick the – and I may have already asked you this, but you have here there's a partial interest only and a full-term interest only. Obviously, you know – and what is the interest-only advantage is that the payment would be lower for the borrower, but they're not paying down any principal. So do you have borrowers do that, or why are they going for that?
You know, generally what I see is, you know, a lot of folks, obviously if they want to keep their payments lower, as you mentioned, but, you know, it really comes down to the folks that are raising money because, you know, with a lower payment, with an IO option, interest-only option rather, they're in effect going to be able to deliver a little bit higher returns to the investors. So that's typically where I see that working the best. Now, on the 5, 7, and 10-year deals, we can structure in 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years respectively. So that would be, you know, 1 year on the 5, 2 on the 7, 3 on the 10, at really no additional charge to the borrower. Now, what I will say is that Freddie guides that as a general, you know, guideline or condition, but if we're going into a really, really small market, let's just say in the middle of, you know, middle of nowhere, Arizona or Wyoming, the interest only is going to be a little bit tougher from a credit perspective. Whereas if you bring us a deal in, you know, Manhattan, you know, you can get 3 years IO all day.
Okay. Okay. So I guess that's just why they're doing that, probably to lower their payment a little bit. But, you know, the only problem with that is they're not paying down any interest, you know? So I guess is the end goal of an investor that's doing that to – Is the goal of that investor doing that still to hold on to this property long term? If they're not paying down any principal, I mean?
Generally speaking, yes. But as you mentioned, if they're not having to allocate money to the principal payment, that enables them to put more money into the property. So we see a lot of folks that are buying these, you know, 50 to 100 unit properties. And what they'll do is they'll come in, they'll immediately try to do some rehab renovation work, try to raise rents just a little bit to create some more value. And, you know, this interest-only option gives them the ability to do that.
Okay. Do you guys, I don't think you do. There's no max on the amount of units a multifamily property can have with the Freddie Mac program, is there?
No, correct. There is no maximum to our program. However, I will say, being, you know, kind of in that 1 to 5 million space, I would say we rarely see more than about 200 to 250 units maximum. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the floor, you know, it does have to be 5 units or greater. If it were, you know, a scattered site, or we wanted to do a kind of a blanket loan scenario with a multitude of, let's just say, 4-unit properties, that would be considered, but that's a little bit rare.
Okay. I could ask you like a million questions, but I just want to see real quick. And most of the time, you know what we're doing. We're doing kind of like your more stated bank alternate loans, but I want to expose our team to these programs because we do once in a while get these borrowers that do come to us with larger loan amounts. And we recently, I think I told you, Matt, not too long ago, formed with a company named RealNex, and they are a technology company for real estate brokers. And they will be using us as their financing mechanism, and most of their loan amounts are going to be $2.5 million. That's their average loan amount. So our shop has to get more used to, running larger deals, you know?
Sure.
I see all the documents you guys collect and everything, so it's really not much difference, honestly, than what we deal with today. Just the program is just a little structured, a little different. So, guys, does anyone have any quick questions for Matt before I steal all the questions? Okay, Matt, I just had 3 more quick questions for you, and I promise I'll let you go. Again, really appreciate you taking the time to do this for us. Are all of your loans non-recourse?
They are generally going to be all non-recourse. The exception to the rule would be if we get down into a very, very small market, let's just say, you know, a population sub 10,000, mm-hmm. and there's other credit risks that factor into the deal, then Freddie may implement some kind of a base recourse structure that would in effect burn off over a couple of years. I would say that is very rare, but they will just do it if the credit is a concern.
Okay. And what do you guys consider, like, on all every commercial loan I've ever done, there has to be a warm body behind the loan. So what do you guys consider? There's still a PG on your loan, a personal guarantee on the loan, correct?
That is correct. So there will be a guarantor requirement. That is generally going to be a warm body. We have had in the past, very, very high net worth entities. But again, that's kind of more of an exception. And to keep things a little bit easier, we prefer if it is just one key principal or key principal guarantor. But yeah, I mean, generally speaking, it's typically one with just the warm body requirements.
And non-recourse to you guys just means that, you know, of course, if something happened, you, of course, would come after the property, but you're not going to come after their personal assets?
That is correct. So in the event of a default, and no, you know, malicious activity by the borrower, there would not be any action taken beyond taking back the property, right? So there's the bad boy carve-outs, which are simply stipulated that, you know, if there's any criminal activity, wrongdoing, theft, fraud, then, you know, the rules change a little bit, right? But it just applies to the property, you know, almost 100% of the time.
Okay. Do you guys work with foreign nationals at all?
We do work with foreign nationals. So Freddie is not really shy about the foreign national situation. What they prefer to see is if you guys do run into a deal that has one, it'd be great to understand what their current real estate schedule is in the U.S. Freddie likes to see that they've been owning and operating in the United States for a while. And in addition, they may implement a little bit higher on the liquidity net worth requirements I mentioned before. So they may want to see double the net worth or double the liquidity, but it's more of a case-by-case scenario.
Yeah, no, I understand. Does the program typically limit their LTV or anything because they're foreign national?
It wouldn't necessarily limit the LTV or the coverage requirements that we have, but again, you know, if I've seen, you know, all sides of the spectrum. I've seen folks that are just taking their money from China or India or any other country and just trying to come to the U.S. As their first time. And then I've seen guys that are from South Korea or China that have been in the U.S. for 30 years and have bigger real estate schedule than anyone I've ever seen. So, you know, the spectrum is very wide, and it's more of a case-by-case situation, as I mentioned.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a really simple question that's either simple or complicated. When you guys calculate your DSCR on your property, is it really just, or your debt service coverage, are you using the, just, I mean, obviously you're comparing the income and expenses on the property, but like many banks do as well, they'll also request, you know, 3 years of tax returns to actually see what the seller is claiming So sometimes that actually hurts me in deals I'm doing if it happens to be like a lender we're working with a bank, because they are going to go off of the tax returns all the time, not clearly the income and expenses to underwrite the loan. How do you guys work that?
We do not require the tax returns. So what we'll request, and I can pass along a closing checklist that just shows all the items. Maybe I'll send that over after the call, as well as the geographical breakdown for the markets that I mentioned. So that enables everybody to just see, you know, what kind of loan you can get and where. But, you know, backing up, we basically will request, you know, validated historical statements instead of the tax return route. So, you know, any kind of P&L statement that's generated month by month for the 2015, 2016, and maybe even the 2014 just needs to be signed.
Okay. All right, Matt, honestly, that was really all I had for you. You did a great job of explaining your program to us, and obviously we can all clearly follow along with the sheet you gave us about the Freddie Mac multifamily program. That's a really great layout. Just want to ask anyone on the call real quick, guys, does anyone have any other questions for Matt at all? All right, Matt, I just want to thank you so much for taking your time to explain your program to us. And what I'm going to do, what I do after every lender call we have, is we actually going to send out an e-blast to all of our borrowers about your program, like a detailed one. Hopefully we can get some of these originated for you. And I know once this partnership with RealNext does pick up, I'll definitely have some good stuff for you.
Great. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And, you know, thanks for your time. It's, again, you know, keeping it really high level without getting in the weeds, you know, 1 to 5 million, 5 plus units. And all we really need to get a deal sized is just a rent roll, the P&L statements, the profit and loss statements, and a little bit more about the borrower. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Megan.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye.